is how to talk to Zacchaeus. Remember that man? Zacchaeus. How to talk to him? That will be in Luke 19, verses from 1 to 5. When I was still a teenager, we were living in a place, and I have made reference sometimes to that place. And in that place, we have several people that once were very famous, very rich, and very important. We're talking about lawyers and pilots. We are talking about teachers and professors. We are talking about CEOs of big companies. And they unfortunately got into drugs and their lives were destroyed. Remember meeting one that spoke 14 languages, and he was just there next to the garbage dumped with all rats and everything that you can imagine, destroyed because of the drugs. And in that place, I remember hearing some people saying sometimes calling them parasites. And they would tell it to their face, you know, get out of here, parasite. And then I was there and I would tell the neighbors, I don't call him like that. It's okay. Don't call him like that. And one of the things that we used to do in those days, we were still studying and working, and I had to clean and cook and help at home. And so many times when I would cook, one of the things that we did was to get some food. And if they would come by and say, do you have anything to eat? Then we have some food for them. So if there was some shirt or something that was there, although we also were in need because we were also struggling, but if I had two shirts, maybe then I can give you one. And so that happened. One of the most beautiful words that I could hear coming out of the mouth of these friends was the word brother. When they would call me brother, I would thank them for that. Thank you. Wow. And we would talk and talk and talk. They were very immersed in that thing, and they were using many stuff, but they were prisoners of that. One of the things that we never did was to call them names or talk down to them, but to treat them with respect. Sometime later, I left that place. I went away to study and to work. And a few years passed. And I came back because I was going to church in that place. They were not going to church, of course, but they would see me going to church and coming back and to going to school and so on and so forth. I went away. When I came back, I found a bunch of them in the church. They had been baptized and they have left the drugs. And some of them, you know what they were doing? When they went to church and they left the drugs, they will go back to the neighborhood and tell others what God had done for them. So it is paramount, important how we talk to Zacchaeus. And this is what we are seeing here in the word, that one day Jesus went to Jericho. And when he went to Jericho, Jericho is a happy place there. Lots of people, as we saw in the scripture reading, lots of people are there. And this man named Zacchaeus, he heard that Jesus was passing by. He had never seen Jesus, but he had heard what Jesus had done. And he said, I want to see him. But the crowd was just too big. It was just too much people. And what the Bible says about him, that he was a very, very tall man, like Goliath. Is that what he says? If there is one thing even little children know, is that Zacchaeus, you know the little song, right? About Zacchaeus, is that he was not that tall and that he would have problems looking at Jesus. According to the Bible here in Luke 19, And we are now reading verse 3. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, that he could not, because he was short in stature. Amazing. That the Bible says that he was short in what? In a stature. So he is very specified that he was short only anatomically. And so Jesus was passing by, and this man is, the crowd is a lot. And remember, even if you are tall, if there is a lot of crowd, you will not be able to move or see anything, right? You are all over the place. Look, yeah, you could see if you are above the crowd, but you will not be able to move. It was just too much for him. Crowd is an external obstacle, and then an internal obstacle, that he was his stature. So what did he do? What did he say? You know what? I know where is the tree. And he find out what was the root that Jesus was. Can you believe this? He did the homework. I remember when Brother Slav was speaking in Burnt Oak, the night before, we were saying what bus to take, what train to take, where to stop, where to cross, all of these things. This is exactly what Zacchaeus was doing. Where is he passing by? He went to inspect the place. Oh, there is a tree. This is what I'm doing. He went to the tree. The place is full. He goes up there. Jesus is not aware that this man is there. Probably allow me to suggest that maybe there were other people in the trees. I don't know if you have seen the video of Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. Have you seen it? Have you seen the trees there in the Capitol? There are more people than leaves in the tree. It's packed. So there you go. And it's a very, you know, common thing to go to the tree. Somebody's passing by to see, of course. So maybe there were more people. We don't know. But one thing we know is that Jesus is passing by. And when he is passing by, the Bible says that he stops. And in that spot, there is a lot of people that is shouting, that is talking, there is a lot of commotion. And this man, a hated man, a tax collector. He was a Jew, but he was a tax collector. And for you to collect taxes, you have to work with the Romans. And the Romans were the enemies of Israel. So now you are somebody that is a traitor. They are hated and resented. Tax collectors were one of the targets of the zealots. Remember the zealots? They were one of the targets of the zealots because they were working for the enemy. And one of the works of the zealots was to kill Romans, to bring about the kingdom of God. That's what they thought. So here is a man with a profession that is hated by his people, resented by his people. He is a thief. He is a liar. And he is a rich man. He is a rich man, and he became rich by stealing to his own people. Remember the speech of John the Baptist? When they say, what do you do? What should we do? And he said, tax collectors, do not charge more. You know, do not increase the price. Do not charge more than is due. Because that's what they used to do. One of the complaints about Jesus was that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors were the garbage of the nation. These people were hated, and if a zealot found one in a corner, you know that it was the end. I don't know how many names Zacchaeus had in the neighborhood. Liar, a thief, a traitor, animal. I don't know what it was. But we know that he was hated because tax collectors were. And he was despised, and he was considered also in society lower, away from God. This is somebody without a future and no place in the kingdom. And the Bible says here in Luke 19, 1 to 5, that when Jesus came to the place, in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your home today. So he hurried down and he was happy to welcome him. Look at this now. He is walking around and he is stopped there, right where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up. There is a bunch of people, but he didn't pass by Zacchaeus. He noticed Zacchaeus, despite of the big, huge crowd, although he was in a tree, although Zacchaeus didn't call. It wasn't that Zacchaeus called him, "Jesus, Jesus, I am here." It wasn't like that. It was that Jesus, despite of the crowd and the noise and everything that was going on, he looked up and he paid attention and he noticed Zacchaeus. This is Jesus, and he is noticing you too today. Amen. Despite of the crowd and the many things that you may think that are covering you, the leaves and the noise, Jesus sees you. He is aware that you are there. He was not unnoticed. This man was not unnoticed. Despite of everything, Jesus noticed him. Now that we notice him and that we know where he is and everybody stops, many are asking, who is he talking to? Not everybody knew. How did he know that Zacchaeus was there? He knew it. Something told, the Bible says that he had to pass, he was going to pass by this place. It was necessary for him, like in John 4, it says, it was necessary for him to pass by that place to see him. What did he call him? It would have been a good opportunity for him to say, "Hey, thief." It would have been a good opportunity. Do you know, it was the spot to have a great joke at the expense of Zacchaeus. Well, well, well. You know that nothing good comes after that triple well, isn't it? When somebody says, well, 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 you know that whatever comes next is bad. People, look at this. That was the moment for Jesus to have a go at Lazarus. Humiliate him. Expose him. Put him to shame publicly. That was the place. If there was a place to put him to shame, that was the one. And sometimes we like that, to put people to shame in public, to make them look bad. Let me show you that I know. Let me put you in place. Let me correct you. Let me just show, you know, how great I am by putting you in your place. We are not talking about a contribution, let's say, in a conversation. No, we're talking about exposing and humiliating others publicly. You know who like to do that a lot? A lot of people, but also religious people. We need to show that we know. And we have a peculiar way of starting an argument when somebody says something, and you know, and origins are rounded and they have leaves. Yeah. But we like that, don't we? And we move the finger like E.T. You remember?
E.T. from home.
E.T. from home, remember? Oh, yeah. No, wait. And probably a better way to see, yes. And besides that, what do you think about that? Yes, additionally, yes. And you know what? You just brought something to my mind that we continue with the flow of the conversation, acknowledging the contribution that the other person just made. Important also, right? But no, Pastor Patrick has to reign. And he has to make sure everybody knows that I am the wise one. Say, yeah, but no. And now I want to fix it. It would have been a great moment. And even if you are correcting something, even if you are correcting something, you could say another way of seeing that. I remember having a conversation with a good friend that is an atheist. He is an atheist and he doesn't believe in God at all. And we have conversations. And this is how we speak. We speak about, well, another way to see it. And I didn't see it like that. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And how do you see this and how do you see that? This morning we were talking about a topic there also. And we agree, it's true. Not everybody does that. We were talking about something. Yeah, it's true. No, but it's true. It's true. And the contribution is amazing. Jesus could have humiliated him, exposed him, put him down. Instead of that, he calls him Zacchaeus. My goodness. You know the hundreds of people that were there? And I am paying attention to you because Jesus pays attention to you. When you speak, he is listening. You are important to him. You are not just a number to him. You are not just a member to him. You are not just somebody seated in a bench to him. You are not just a commodity to him. You are somebody. You are important. You are a human being. You are his daughter. You are his son. You matter to him. Isn't that amazing? You are somebody. Others may call you a thief. Others may call you a rubbish. Others may call you whatever. For him, you are somebody with importance. As Dr. Martin Luther King used to say, somebody with somebodyness, he would say. Zacchaeus. Yeah, you. The first thing that he said was, Zacchaeus. And look at this. If there was a little book entitled, How to Resurrect a Dead Person, what do you do? Well, according to John chapter 11, first of all, go to the place. When you get there, stand. And then look up. And then say the name of the person. Remember that that's what he did in John 11 when he resurrected Lazarus. He went to the place. He said, where is he? And they said, he's over there. He went to the place. He stood there. And then the Bible says, he looked up to heaven, prayed, thank God. And then the next thing that he said was what? Lazarus, come forth. He's doing the same thing now. He goes to a place, he stops in the spot, and he looks up. And the first thing that he says is, Zacchaeus, come down. In that occasion, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And in this case, he says, Lazarus, come down. Brothers and sisters, he is about to resurrect Zacchaeus. And for that, he has to call you by your name. There is nothing sweeter than your own name. My friends, if you want to have a conversation with somebody, just sit down and say, tell me about you, and don't say anything. And he knows that. But he wants to make you understand that he knows you personally. You matter. You are somebody. You are a person. And whatever you are going through, all of us, mama, whatever we are going through, he knows and he will help you. He knows your name, where you were born. They have never seen each other. He actually went to see how he looks like because he had heard about him, the Bible says. And when he went there, this man whom I never seen, he knows me like this. And then he says, Zacchaeus. And what does Zacchaeus mean? Zacchaeus means pure. Don't tell me. Yeah, Zacchaeus means pure, holy, good boy. Zacchaeus means everything opposite to what he was. So if it would have me being me, maybe I would have called him by one of the nicknames in the neighborhood. Instead of doing that, he calls him holy, pure, come down. What is he doing? He is talking to that person that has been buried under so much wrong things and problems, but is still there. He is talking to the king in Zacchaeus. He's talking to the queen in you, to the best of you, to that part of you that you forgot. Because you have been for so long doing wrong that you have forgotten who you are. You have been lying for so long that you have forgotten that you are pure. You have been using that substance for so long, behaving in such a way that you have forgotten who you are. And he is now reminding him, you, in my eyes, you are pure. When you were born, I told your mom and your dad, call him pure, call him beautiful, call him holy. This is who he is for me. And on the way, he forgot. Remember Lion King? Do you remember Lion King? One of the things that Mufasa did when Simba was confused and he didn't know who he was. What was Papa King? What was that Papa King did? Well, he spoke to Simba and told him, Simba. Remember that? The hyenas are saying, and the dogs are saying, and the chickens are saying, Papa King Lion said, Simba. And then he said, remember who you are.
Damn, Pastor.
We've forgotten who we are in Christ. We have been hearing what the crowd says for too long. And we believe what the crowd says. It's time to believe what God says about you. And he has called you pure. He has called you victorious. He has called you powerful. He has called you clean. He has called you forgiven. He has called you conqueror. He has called you, I will say it again, victorious. He has called you happy. He has called you blessed. He has called you somebody with a future, somebody with a destiny. He has said all of that. He's saying now, come down from the tree. Remember Gideon, he was afraid and hiding. Remember that? He was afraid and hiding. And the angel appeared to him and said, hey, how you doing, powerful man, brave? He's not mocking him. He's telling you who you are. Because you have forgotten it by the tsunami of propaganda saying that you are less than, that you are ugly, that you are not intelligent, that for you to look, to be like, be somebody, you need to look like this and like that. He's saying, Lazarus, get out of there. Zacchaeus, come down from there. He is talking to you. Hey, man of valor, powerful, mighty. How you doing? And the man was, what are you talking to me? To you. But I'm shaking, but in my eyes, you are a conqueror. And I need you to believe what I say about you. Amen. We need to believe him. And so he came down quickly, the Bible says. I like this because he didn't resist what God was saying about him. he accepted. When he was called pure, he accepted. He said, if you say so, then I am. I'm coming down. We need to accept what he says about us. We have been fighting him. That's not humbleness. To reject his love is not a gift of the Spirit. It's good to accept him. It's good to say, you know what? I don't feel like I have been forgiven. But if you say so, I believe it. And you know what now? I am going to act accordingly. And I am going to think accordingly. Do you remember Elijah? I saw that from Sir Anthony Hopkins in a little shot of YouTube. Amazing what he's saying. He doesn't remember the name of the person, but it's Elijah. When there was no rain, and then he said, bring the buckets. And somebody said, but there is no water. Bring the buckets anyway. But it's not raining. But bring the buckets. You know what Sir Anthony Hopkins says? That the Bible is saying there that we need to act as if there is water, even when it is dry. If he says that it's going to rain, I'm going to get my umbrella, even though it's shining there. The sun is shining. Yeah, he said that I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. He says that I have a future. Then I have a future, even though I see the door closed. Then if he says that it's going to open it, I will believe that he is going to open it, and I will keep moving in the name of Jesus. That's what he's saying. To act, that's faith. So you say that I have a future. I'm gonna wake up in the morning then. I'm gonna get help for this depression. I'm going to talk to somebody then. You say that I have a future. I'm going to stop smoking this, drinking that. If you say that, I'm going to walk according to your word then. That's what this man is doing. He came down. He acted on the word. And we need to act on the word. Amen. We have to work the word and say it in the morning. Lord, thank you for this day. You are in charge. I feel down, but you are up. I feel desolate, but you are present. I feel forsaken, but you are with me. I know that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me, with the family. Bless this day. I put all my problems in your hands, Father. And even though I know that it's dark, I know that you are with me in the shadow, in this valley of shadows. Even if you don't feel it, say it. Walk on it. Come down from that tree. Walk. Do it. On these days, it was difficult. And you know it. There was a time, not only one day in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe and I couldn't cough. Every time I cough, I felt like two elephants were sitting on my chest. And I didn't want to get out. I sat down at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, Lord, whatever you want is fine. Let's do it. Next day, I didn't want to get out. I'm being sincere with you. What is going on? We have been planning, right, Sister Noelle? We have been thinking, are we going to visit over here? Are we going to have our service over there? And then, boom! And I didn't want to get out. The doctor told me, get some sunshine. And then one bereavement, boom! Then another one, boom! And I didn't want to get out. I didn't. You know what I did? I have this sneakers to walk. And whatever it is that I put on to walk, I didn't want to get out. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want to get out. And I went to the place. I don't want to get out, Lord. And I don't want to get, and I was putting the shirt to get out while saying that I didn't want to get out. And you know that I don't want to get out, Lord. And you know that I don't want to get out, Lord. You know that. So, but I don't want to. What is the key? Oh, here it is. Yes, Lord, but I don't want to get out. I don't feel like getting out. I feel like staying in and crying the whole day. And I went out. And I woke and took my sunshine and came back. And I felt much better after that. I didn't want to open the curtains, but I did. And I was telling, I don't want to open the, and I opened the curtains. While saying I didn't want to open the curtains, I opened it, and I don't want to see what is the Bible verse for today, but I went to see it anyway. And I don't want to hear anything, and I anyway put it. Come down from the tree anyway. Amen. And then he says, and he received him happily. He welcomed Jesus. Can you believe that? That when he came down, the Bible says, and he received him joyfully. This man ran towards him and hugged him. When Jesus said, I want to be at your house, I said, yes, Lord. But before he welcomed him at his house, he welcomed him right there. He said, yes, Lord. And he welcomed him joyfully. What about you and I? Why don't we welcome him today joyfully? Amen? Yes. What he says, welcome him. I shared this with you, I think, a couple of months ago, of an elderly lady. And then this elderly lady had a friend called Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria would pass by her house, stop there in the carriage, have a cup of tea, and then go on. She was a Christian lady. And there were some, you know, some guys there, some young men trying to, always talking with her and asking questions and arguing, you know. And then one day they said, well, she's always talking about Jesus, about Jesus, about Jesus, and about Jesus. We will get her. And so they went there and told her, my sister, yes, we have a question for you. Yes, what is the question? Who is the most important guest that you have ever had in your house? And she said, that's easy. Queen Victoria. And then they say, gotcha. You are supposed to say what? I didn't hear you. You are supposed to say what? Jesus. And she said, no, no, it's not Jesus. Because Jesus is not a guest in my house. He lives there. Welcome him today. Amen. Because you are Zacchaeus. I am Zacchaeus. He is telling you things that are difficult to believe because we are accustomed to hear the opposite, that others are saying or that we are telling ourselves that are lies. We are telling ourselves that are lies. We tell lies to ourselves. We put ourselves down. We call ourselves names. We curse ourselves. We beat ourselves. We put ourselves down. We humiliate ourselves. You think that the people that are gossiping about you are your worst enemy? Uh-uh. Let me introduce you to your worst enemy. Do you have a mirror with you? Yes, that's who. They may say whatever they want to say about you, but if you believe that you are who God says that you are, that thing will not poison you. Amen? They may call you whatever they may call you, but if you believe what God says about you, it will not poison you. Amen? And it's time for us to have the faith of the prostitutes and thieves and liars and tax collectors of the Bible. It's time to have that type of faith. Amen? And to come down from the tree and say, Lord, I accept it. It will help us. It will save us. It will bring us peace. We've been beating ourselves, condemning ourselves for things that are, yes, maybe you did something. Maybe you said something that you are not proud of it. But my question for you is, for how long are you going to be paying for that? He has already said that you have been accepted. So my job is to accept that I have been accepted. Are we going to do that today? Amen. Yes, we are going to open the arms of our hearts and embrace him and say, I accept everything that you say about me. I will declare to you that he accepts you. Let's accept his word and embrace him and welcome him in our lives. Not as a guest, but somebody that will live permanently there. Amen. Is there anybody here that would like to say, yes, Lord, I want you to do that with me. Amen. Somebody, I want it. I need it. I want him to come and to help me believe what he's saying. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen.